Welcome to First in Gold, the podcast where we talk about everything related to Purdue athletics. This is episode one. I am Benjamin Roberts. Super stoked to be joined by Sim Longa. Sim, how are you doing on this Wednesday evening?
Good fam, how you doing, man?
I am good. I am ready to get this show on the road. Once again, thank y'all for listening. This is just a podcast where we're going to talk about everything related to Purdue athletics, football, basketball, volleyball, baseball, anything you guys want to hear, let us know. But the big highlight last week was, of course, the football season kicked off, and man, did Purdue start the season off with a bang, a 49-0 shutout against the Indiana State Sycamores. And I think there are some times where you see a score and it's like, oh, well, that's really not reflective of the game. But watching the game, and Sim, I know you were there, you had great view of the game. The score kind of represented how the game went. That was a whooping up and down the field. And quite frankly, it's exactly what you wanted to see to start the season off.
Oh no, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, yeah, I was there at the game and like it just I would even say for myself, like I was surprised by just how thoroughly like dominant Purdue was. It never really felt like they give like Indiana State an opportunity to kind of like get into a rhythm and maybe even give us like heart palpitations to start with. Like obviously, like, you know, I'm kind of a I'm a kind of like pessimistic. So, you know, your boys out here waiting for all right. Gonna put this drive together and like kind of close us or something like that, and it just it really wasn't that way, man. And like from the opening kickoff, it was just it methodical. You like you just you saw really in all facets, especially you know both sides, you know, offense and defense for sure.
And speaking of dominant, we'll get into more a little bit, but we got to highlight the performance from Hudson Card. 24 of 25, 273 yards, a career high, four touchdowns. He was also, according to Pro Football Focus, the second highest graded quarterback in all of Power Five. And I think the one thing that really stood out watching him, and Coach Walters has talked about this, he's talked about it since day one of spring ball, is the comfort level. And man, he just looks comfortable out there throwing the football.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like he, I think you, we were talking about this a bit offline, but like you were talking about how like his, how he's been really like since kind of like the tail end of last year, and like how that's kind of that's almost it's almost seemed like that has carried over to this year, because yeah, he did seem very comfortable in the pocket, comfortable with making the reads, and obviously like when you're I think when you're comfortable with the system and the scheme. That obviously helps a lot in terms of your ability to prepare and feel good that when you show up on game day, like you'll know you'll be able to perform to the best of your abilities. And obviously, like we know that Indiana State isn't like they aren't some juggernaut per se, but like you said, or you know, at the top is like when you play a team like Indiana State, you know, your expectation, your hope at least is that you know, you're firing in all cylinders and you know, 20, like you said, 24, 25 for 273 and four touchdowns. I mean, I say that's pretty good. I mean, it's you know, but I mean, yeah,
Decent.
I sounds pretty solid.
That's decent.
Right.
And before we dive too far into kind of what our takeaways were from the game, major shout out to the crowd, Sim. I know you were there. It just looked hot from watching the game. I know you can speak to the heat, but the largest crowd in a home opener since 2005. So we're talking almost 20 years. We had 59,488 fans pack Ross Ade Stadium. And I think the thing that stands out to me about that, this is a 4-8 team from last year playing in FCS school. And we just had the highest attendance in almost 20 years. Like, shout out to the crowd. That is like, what other school out here off a season like that playing, and no disrespect to Indiana State, playing a school like Indiana State is going to put up that attendance record? That is just awesome.
Right. No, I definitely agree. Like you said, like coming off a 4-8 year, and like obviously last year was more of like, we were just kind of making do with the parts that you had. And so, but to come off of that, and I think too, like I think it's good. Yeah, it's a good look for the program because obviously to have that type of excitement, like you said, I was at the game and like heat aside, like yeah, it was packed in there, man. It was packed. And like yeah, you love to see that stuff. And I mean, it was a noon game, and I think like I feel like the last like 3 4 years we've always had, like it's always been a night game. At least I feel like it's been like that's how it's been recently. It's always been like a 7 o'clock game, whether it was on a Thursday or it was a Friday or even a Saturday. And so like those games lend themselves, I feel like, to more people going, just more so because of like the tailgate aspect of it, of like a man, it's a night game. Like, yeah, let's go. And like, when we went to Purdue, like how often were we getting night games? We weren't getting them that often. So when you got one, it was like, oh, we're gonna make sure we all kind of pull up. But yeah, man, that was
We didn't even
it was
have lights
good
there
crowd.
when we were there. We
What do you say?
didn't even have lights, but we had to bring in lights for
Oh,
the
that's
night
right.
games.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because they'd be out there in the Ross A lot, and like, yeah, you had to make sure your shit was taking up spots. You know what I'm saying? So then you had to make sure you got there earlier for the bus. So yeah, I mean, like, just yeah, it was really good. Like the atmosphere was really, really good. And so obviously, if the team continues to play, I wouldn't say necessarily at this level. I'm not expecting them to shut out everyone the rest of the year, even though like they're more than welcome to prove me wrong. But like, just like you said, for you're playing an FCS team. You came off a 4-9 season, and it's still kind of like, hey, we kind of want to see what we have here, not just with like Ryan Walters, but just with the entire operation. And to have that type of showing, obviously, that definitely gives you a good feeling, going forward.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong from you being there, but just from watching, you could almost like, I know it's kind of a cliche, but you could really feel the excitement coming through in the broadcast. Like, it just seems like people are really excited about this year. And speak to that just a little bit, being there. Is that true? Like, did that really resonate as it did watching it?
Yeah, I definitely would say, because like I was up there, I was there well before the game, or was up there tailgating, and you could kind of tell around, like I'd say probably like 10 10:30, 11 a.m. like you could just kind of like that buzz was there. That buzz was kind of like that electricity was there. And then for sure, like once I got into the stadium and getting to our seats, yeah, you could just tell like there was that excitement, just that anticipation, like not just the hey, like football's back, but like man, if football's back. And it's always kind of like that renewed hope you have of every year when it starts, of like yo, like man, like this could be a special year type thing. And it's just kind of like with the new year, you just kind of have like it's a clean slate. It's just kind of like, well, let's see what we have this year. And so to kind of have that energy and that kind of enthusiasm, and then to have it paired with the performance that you saw again, like it's just all like. It was it would have been it was hard to it would be extremely hard to leave that game being somehow critical, you know what I mean? So especially of like in terms of the fan base and like whether or not like there's actually support for Purdue football. I don't think like you couldn't have been to that game and left there and been like, I don't know if their fan base is really buying in.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. So shout out to the crowd, because that was really sweet. So let's dive right into it again. A big win to start the year. Final score 49-0. Like we talked about, just really from the beginning, kind of jumped out. The game was never really ever in doubt. And honestly, we were texting during the game, and at halftime, the score was 21-0. And we were talking about, it felt like that the lead was more, like it felt like it was like 35-0. And
Yeah.
so that just kind of, I think, speaks to like the dominating performance there.
Yeah, exactly. Just like it felt like we controlled it. And like I think it was towards the end of the first half, Indiana State was trying to put a drive together to like get a field goal, and they missed the field goal at the end of the half. And it just kind of felt like they really needed that in terms of like if they were gonna have some momentum. And then like, but the fact like that when they missed the field goal, it was kind of like, yeah, that summarizes how this first half went in terms of like they just couldn't really get anything. They just couldn't catch a break. And I think a large part of that was obviously was the way that we played. So yeah, it was really good, man.
Cool. Well, let's talk about a few of the highlights from this game. And the first one, Sim, that really jumped out to me was just the newcomers. I mean, there was a lot of new names out there, a lot of guys like, hey, I think I've heard of him when he committed or when he transferred. But five different Boilermakers scored their first touchdown. So let's give a shout out to Reggie Love, Jerron Tibbs, Denylon Morissette, Leland Smith, and Elijah Jackson. But that was kind of my big takeaway was like just the newcomers out there. And I mean, they all kind of balled out.
No, you, I mean, and you like that, like for the new guys to come on board, like in their first action, be able to contribute in that kind of way, and obviously get a taste of the end zone. And like, I imagine that they probably want to go back. They want to be making, return trips, throughout the season and throughout their time, at Purdue. And yeah, like it was really nice to see so many different guys getting involved. Because again, I think that just gives you some optimism in terms of like, wait, are these going to be some guys, like, are these going to be some names that like we're hearing, week in and week out, whether it's at home or it's on the road? Are we gonna like, are these guys gonna be some real contributors?
And I think too, it's like, man, we might have some dudes.
Right.
Like, there's always like, all right, we got one guy on offense, we got one weapon at wide receiver, we got Rondale Moore, we got David Bell, but
David
do we
Bell.
have much else? It seems like we're really starting to see the fruits of Coach Walter's recruiting, both from the high school and the transfer portal. And one guy that I really wanted to highlight, Reggie Love. I mean, I think he is the perfect combination, the 1-2 punch with him and Mockaby in the backfield. You got to feel really good where we're at a running back standpoint when you can put both those guys and you can interchange them and not really miss a beat at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, Reggie Love, he played really well. Like he ran well. I can catch out the backfield as well. Yeah, like you said, I think we were actually talking about this like in the like in obviously like during, like in the game. But like just in terms of like him being a compliment to Mock, and like that, like yeah, like you really like what you saw from both of them. Obviously from Mockaby Wheel, but we've kind of known that for a couple years now. But from Reggie Love, it was like, oh, okay, like yeah, we might, like you said, we might not have any slippage if he if he's coming in and Maccabee's out. Like we can still make hay here. So yeah, I definitely, yeah, Reggie Love was definitely, he's one of the standouts for me in terms of like, oh, okay, like all right, cool, glad he's here.
And this is also a good time to remind everybody that Indiana State didn't offer Devin Mockabee a scholarship. And boy, did he make them regret that
Tell you what,
decision.
I'll tell you what,
Just
that
wanted to
hasn't
go
aged well
ahead,
for them.
just wanted to go ahead and remind everybody of that. What was one of your big takeaways from this past weekend?
I mean, I think it's just more of like, it just seems as though we might have a lot of guys who can contribute. And I think it just kind of stems off the point you brought up earlier. I mean, I think we've been trending as a program, albeit like, there's a coaching change and whatnot, but like we've always had like a stud, whether it was you had a stud on the line, you had a stud in the linebacking core, or one stud, like someone in the secondary. And then the same thing on offense, where, you have, one good skill player, whether it's a running back or it's a wide receiver. And you don't really, but you didn't necessarily have someone who routinely was showing up as like a complement at that particular like position or something like that. And just like you mentioned, like you have five new guys who scored touchdowns, I mean, who scored touchdowns last week. And it just seems like we might really have multiple guys. And I'm not saying you necessarily need to have a bunch of guys who are going to go like first or second round in the draft per se, like that type of stuff. But like if you got some guys who like, to where you can't double, like when we're talking about the wide receivers, if you got some guys where you can't double, or like, with Reggie Love coming in after, to spell a Devin Mockaby, and you still have to know like, no, we have to have eyes in the backfield as well. Like that just really, it really excites you in terms of like what we can do going forward. So I think for me, it seems like we have some depth. I guess that's probably the thing that excites me the most, is like, man, we might have some depth in some of these key areas where previously we haven't had that, and maybe the drop has been a bit steeper from the starter to the person who's like backing them up. And again, I think that bodes well for you moving forward in terms of your ability to compete week in and week out, and obviously and honestly, like surprise and turn some heads.
Yeah, and let's highlight one guy also talking about that influx of talent, and that's Max Clair, the tight end. He was one guy to me that really stood out as well, who can be just a weapon kind of down the seam. We talked about, kind of the influx of talent at the wide receiver position, but then, like you said, not being able to double, and now you got Clair kind of going down the middle of the field. That's another wrinkle in there. Just his skill set, his size, his hands, his playmaking ability. I mean, everything he did kind of stood out where you were just like, wow, this dude can
Yeah,
play.
absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean he stuck out like in person. Yeah, like I mean I'm sure on TV, obviously like he's a big athletic tight end, but even in person it was like, man, this is okay. And again, it's just like, all right, the more again you think about like you have Hudson Card who's more comfortable with the system, who's more comfortable in the system. And so if the O-line is doing what they're supposed to do. And obviously, if you have multiple options, whether that's wide receiver or tight end with Max Clair, multiple options for him to throw to, you're confident about like his ability to spread the ball out. And also for guys to make plays for him because like Max Clair is big. So like he's a dude who's like he's gonna bang on some people in terms of like to make some of these tough grabs. Like you said, up the seam, that's important because again, I think from a defensive standpoint, then it means like, okay, we have to pay attention to him as well, which means like maybe you can't give some extra help to the outside if someone else is killing you there. It's like, no, we can't allow Max Clair to now get active as well. So yeah, Max Clair definitely played well. What was it, 5 catches, 71 yards, had a touchdown as well. And yeah, he looks really, really solid. And he's one of those where I'm thinking like, all right, yeah, he's probably gonna put up some numbers this year.
Yeah, and he's one. I think the play that really highlighted, of course, duh, because it was a scoring play, but the weapon that he can be in the red zone. I think they were at like the 10-yard line on the play where he scored. And just kind of using his size and that playmaking ability, he can really be a difference maker in the red zone specifically.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think just taking that one step further, not just him, but again, another something else we were talking about offline was just like the overall size of the receivers we have, but especially with your tight end, you definitely want that because when you are running more of like if you're running more of like a power package or something like that, having a big tight end is someone who you can utilize in those type of situations. They're probably going to find themselves, on a smaller defender, on a defensive back or maybe like a safety, and you like your odds with Max Clair going up for, on a 50-50 ball. I don't think it's necessarily 50-50, because of his size and his ability to use his body. Yeah, man, it just yeah, he's very, very solid. Very, very solid, man.
Yeah, and that's a good call out with the height. That's the other thing that really just stood out to me in watching them play is just the size, both at the wide receiver, which is one thing again that, we as Purdue fans are not really used to, like especially kind of in Brohm's day. You think of like a Rondale Moore, you think of kind of like the small speedsters.
TJ Sheffield.
Haven't really had a lot of, even Deion Burks last year. We had those burners, but we didn't have a lot of size. And I think the size, not only at wide receiver, but let's flip it over to the defensive end, the size at defensive back. I mean, that really jumped out to me, was just kind of the size that we have there, because that's an area where I feel like Purdue has always been exposed. And it seems like we're starting to get some skill guys there too. And I think they really held their own.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I agree with all that because like you said, like most of the time our wide receivers have been these smaller, faster guys, which is fine. But then like if we run up into a secondary where you have some bigger defenders on them, obviously that's going to be a bit more challenging. So to be able to have some size, subsides to kind of to combat that offensively with our wide receivers. I think that's good. And then obviously, yeah, on defense, it's the same thing because you're going to run into some teams who have bigger receivers, whether they're tight ends or it's their wide receivers. And so now you have some bigger defensive backs, and obviously, like that was Walt. That's Walter's. That's his. You know, that's his area. And so you're hoping that those guys that skill with their natural born like size and height, that they can really be some difference makers in terms of kind of being able to cut people's water off from with like opposing receivers.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's even, there's more coming, and we'll touch on it a little bit as we kind of talk about getting ready for Notre Dame. But you could make the argument that the best defensive back and the best wide receiver on the roster haven't even hit the field yet.
Yeah,
So that's kind of just something to be excited about too. As we kind of look at this game, I know we both kind of picked an area of like kind of our player of the game. I'll go first on mine. Mine's not a player of the game. It's actually going to be a whole unit, and I want to give some love to the defensive line. I know that they got hit with a couple of penalties, and we'll talk about that. A couple pretty questionable calls too, but for the most part, I mean, Hudson had all day to throw back there, and had just a super clean pocket the whole time. But let's also talk about the running game, where they 31 carries, 248 yards, 8 yard average. And I know it's against Indiana State, and I know that it's going to get a whole lot tougher, but they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They dominated the line of scrimmage. And I don't care who you're playing, anytime you carry the ball more than 30 times and you average 8 yards a pop, that's pretty dang good.
it's got to be. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to complain about that. And I mean, even before, what was Elijah Jackson ripped his long one, I think it was what, like late in the third or maybe early in the fourth. I think it was in the fourth, when he ripped that long one. You could see that they were like you said, they were dominant. They were dominant. Card had time to throw. From a running standpoint, there were lanes like Mockaby was starting to get active. The holes were gaping for him as well. The running lanes were big for him to run through as well. And yeah, man, it gives you a good feeling because like people will say, well, it's Indiana State, you're supposed to do that. And it's like, yeah, you're supposed to. And if they didn't, we'd be a lot more concerned because it'd be like, yo, like you were supposed to make easy work of these guys and like you struggled. So you from that standpoint, like you do like what you saw. And like, yeah, we take it with a grain of salt, but yeah, the O-line definitely. Yeah, man. 30, like you said, 31, 248, and an 8 yard average. That's if they can do even anything like similar to that going forward, that allows you again to just have such good balance in terms of how you're able to call a game, from an OC standpoint.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally agree. Now, Sim, who's your player of the game?
So mine is, yeah, I'm kind of like you. Like I have more, mine's more of a unit and it's not so much like an individual. So of course, like we're talking about Hudson Card, 24, 25, but mine's actually just the wider, the really the whole receiving core, specifically the wide receivers. It just like the equal distribution. I mean, I know obviously two quarterbacks played, but I was looking here at some, at the stats and I think 12 people caught passes. And I'm just looking here, you see Jamal Adrien, Leland Smith, Jerron Tibbs, Max Clair combined. Those four had what, eight, five, 13, had 15 catches between just those four. And so like, yeah, it's just nice to see that there's again, like I said, earlier, it's nice to see if you have some options. It seems as though we have like some true depth. And obviously the tests, they get steeper as you go into the season because not every team's going to be like Indiana State. But again, they were supposed to make them like they were supposed to. We were supposed to run it up on these boys. We did that. And they were a big part of that. So I, yeah, my mine's probably the receiving core.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think I really like how they made a concerted effort, getting the playmakers the ball in space to start the game. I think it was the very first two plays was essentially screens, just to kind of get in a flow. And I think it was a first down picked up on both plays. So really recognizing that we got the playmakers and utilizing them, I think really stood out.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of spin it. I know it's kind of seems like nitpicking when you're ch trying to find some things that you weren't really impressed about when you beat a team 49 to nothing. And I touched on it a little bit, but the penalties is just one area that got to get cleaned up. Just watching and being able to watch the replay on a few, there were a couple questionable calls, especially that roughing the passer call. I mean, that was just a bad call,
Bro,
but you got to
I
get
remember
that
that
area.
roughing the passer one. Well, that was ooh, yeah, we there were some expletives in the stands.
You got to get that cleaned up. So I think that would kind of be my big one. Sim, anything you saw that kind of like, we might want to tighten that up a little bit.
Hudson Card, do you wanna slide more and just kind of avoid the unnecessary hits? He had a couple times where he scrambled, and like we've talked about this before, talked about it last year. You need to have a quarterback who not necessarily is a runner, but he's willing to run, willing to use his legs. And so, like, very clear that Hudson Card can do both. He can run and he's willing to use his legs. But like, sir, like gonna need you to go down. Like, don't like the like
Yeah.
avoid the unnecessary hit. Because there was one play, I think it might have been in the second quarter. Drop back to pass. He like, steps up in the pocket, ends up scrambling. I think he went right and he like hurdled a defender and he got hit when he was in midair. And he was like, it looked like he was kind of ginger getting up. And I'm sitting there like, you see, like, no, sir. Like, we cannot be having that. So that's probably the one thing for me that stuck out of like, we need to tighten this up going forward because you're no good to us if you're on the, you're no good. You can't go 24, 25 if you're on the sidelines. So
I
yeah.
agree. I agree. So kind of looking forward now, it's about to get real. The schedule gets a whole lot tougher. We got the bye week this week. We won't kind of go too much into looking ahead to Notre Dame. That'll be more of the podcast next week where we'll really kind of highlight that. Sim, I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of the Notre Dame A&M game. Over the weekend, the defense looked really good.
Yeah,
So
man.
I think the big thing for Purdue is now you get 2 weeks to prepare. You can get on the healthier side, and get that game plan figured out, because one thing about Notre Dame is they're going to be ready. But I got a feeling that the Boilers are going to be ready too, especially at home.
Yeah, it's a 3:30 game, obviously. Yeah, I think that, I think again the crowd, the atmosphere is going to be electric. So like I don't think it's going to be necessarily an issue of, hey, well, we need the fans there. But yeah, it's just, I mean, you're going to have odds. I mean, assuming that Notre Dame beats Northern Illinois this week, they'll come in being at least ranked number five in the country. And yeah, I did watch some of that Texas A&M game, and that defense is no joke. So when I, earlier was just a second ago, and I was talking about, like, you were talking about penalties, you're going to have to clean those up. And the ask in general, beating a top five team is always going to be high. It's always going to be, and it's going to require you to play about as perfect of a brand of football as possible. But that's where like it'll be the little things that'll get you. So it'll be the stuff like the if you're missing blocking assignments and stuff like that, putting yourself in a position where as a lineman you have to hold to like avoid your quarterback getting blown up. Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of attention to detail. But like you said, the good thing about it is that you have a week for guys to continue to rest up, continue to get healed up, and to also to game plan to where, come Saturday on the 14th, you should be ready to go. You should be locked and loaded. And then you just want to make sure that you come out and obviously you play the best brand of proven football that you can. And just for me, I'm like, just be there in the fourth, and we'll kind of see what happens from there.
And we'll dive way deeper into this next week. So make sure y'all little plug there. Make sure y'all check us out next week as well, where we will really kind of dive in to everything in regards to the game against Notre Dame. Probably going to be the biggest game of Coach Walter's early career, I would say. But again, we'll dive deep into that next week. One thing just to keep your eye on, kind of the initial injury reports. So of course, not much of a report this week with the bye week. But Coach Walters during his press conference did say that the two transfers from Georgia, defensive back Nyland Green and wide receiver CJ Smith, both missed the opener. And Walters said, and I quote, if we had to play today, they wouldn't play. Luckily, we don't have a game this week. On a few other guys who missed the opener as well, wide receiver Cam Brown, defensive lineman Joe Anderson, and offensive lineman Corey Stewart, Walters said that they'll be ready. And one thing to highlight for Notre Dame, their starting wide receiver, Jordan Faison, out 1 to 2 weeks with a sprained ankle. Doubt he's going to play against Northern Illinois. So just one thing to keep an eye on. I did see that he played in the first half against A&M before he got hurt, had a couple of catches, and was their starting punt returner. So just a couple of things to keep your eye on as we kind of go through this week there.
Yeah, no,
Now, one thing
that's
we did want to highlight, like we said, this is a Purdue podcast, but we're going to talk about more than just football and basketball, and want to just give a shout out to Coach Shondell and the volleyball team. They kicked off their season this weekend as well, hosting the Stacy Clark Classic. And you talk about some dominating performances, swept Kansas State, UMBC, and UC Davis. And let's give a shout out to Eva Hudson, who just balled out, Big Ten Player of the Week, MVP of the Stacy Clark Classic. So just shout out to them. Shout out to the volleyball program. I know it's always rocking there. Like just an unbelievable atmosphere. And just really cool to see them get off to such a good start.
yeah, no, and Ava Hudson, like you said, she's a monster. I mean, we say what, like death taxes Ava Hudson when it comes to volleyball. Yeah, she's what, National Player of the Week this week. And yeah, I mean, the fact that they started, number 8 in the country. And obviously the Big Ten is like one of the best, is like one of, if not the best conference for volleyball in the country. So yeah, we definitely like the way that the ladies were able to get the season started. And, hopefully this is a special year for them, just racking up a bunch of wins. So we definitely love that for them.
Yep, and they will travel to Utah this weekend. I believe they're playing Cal, Utah, and Utah State. So just something to keep an eye out as the ladies are out west and try to keep their great start rolling. Well, Sim, I mean, we are almost at the end of time. This was fun, man. I had a good time doing this. I know you probably want to talk just a little bit, but before I hand it over to you, just want to just give another plug as well. Follow us on Twitter, First and Gold PU. That's FirstAndGoldPU on Twitter. We were tweeting during the game. We'd love to kind of interact with more Purdue fans. And also let us know what you think of the podcast, man. Like we said, this is our first time doing it. Had a lot of fun, but I'm sure there's a lot of areas where we can improve on as well. So let us know. And I mean, Sim, I know I'm probably speaking for you also, but we love talking Purdue sports. So hit us up on there, interact with us, and let us know what you think. But man, this was fun. The time flew by, but I mean, shoot, we could sit here and shoot this stuff about Purdue all night long.
Right. No, I mean, like we was talking about before, like we talk about this so much in the group chat. So like to be able to put it on here is actually pretty dope. And yeah, obviously, like you said, like, I mean, it's the first one. So if there's audio stuff, like, obviously we're gonna try to work through that, and just try to continue to get better. But obviously, yeah, the feedback is much appreciated, because then it helps us be better. And obviously we want people to interact, we want people to be tuning in and tapping in to what we're doing here, in terms of like just talking about Purdue sports and in general, whether that's, like you said, like football, or if it's volleyball, or if it's baseball or something like that. If that's something you want to hear, definitely let us know.
It's an exciting time, man. I mean, like we just talked about, volleyball is top 10. We just spent 30 minutes talking about how we're excited about the rise for football. And I mean, we haven't even touched Purdue basketball yet. So, I mean, really super exciting time to be a Purdue fan right now. And yeah, we enjoyed talking about it. Again, we'll try to do these every week. Next week we'll kind of really dive into Notre Dame and get prepped for that big game. We'll talk on volleyball a little bit, and any, breaking news with the basketball team, because don't look now, but that season's right around the corner as well. And I know we are all excited about that. But again, thank y'all for listening. We enjoyed it. Give us your feedback on what you thought. Give us 5-star ratings if you thought we deserved it. Follow us on Twitter, First and Goal PU. And we will talk to y'all next week. Appreciate y'all, and boiler up.
Yes, sir.